I was listening quite closely this morning as everything just kind of tied together, and now I'm going to throw a bomb. And the bomb is this. For right now, God has positioned you where He wants you to be. And He hasn't positioned you so you can just think about moving. He's positioned you there because He has a purpose where you're at. You know, I keep telling people, if you're not obedient where God has placed you, He's not going to move you to another place where you can be disobedient. If you're not fulfilling the purpose and the plan for God in your life where He's positioned you, and I'm going to take you through the Bible and show you people that He positioned, even taking them out of their country, taking them into a foreign country where they were the only ones that believed in the true God, and then used them to change a nation. Maybe God's trying to use you to change Woodland. Or whatever corporation you're working for, or whatever business you're in. But so often we want to get out. We don't like it. We want to change. We want to do our own thing. And God is saying, wait a minute. I didn't lead you to a place so you can run away. I didn't lead you to a place so you can go hide. Let's start realizing, instead of just wanting God to okay what we're doing, let's start looking at a time when God is saying, I put you there for purpose. Exactly what you're doing. You're not going to Groton by happenstance. You're not working at the schools, and you're not working at Woodland, and you're not farming, and you're not doing a lot of stuff just because you can't do anything else. You are placed in a strategic place to glorify Jesus, even if you're the only one there as a Christian. And you know something? You got your big boy pants on? If we're complaining that we're the only Christian there, why is that true? If you're looking at your job and say, I'm the only one serving God, and you've been working there for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, why are you still the only Christian? Wow. Shall we start with this? I love pastor fearing. I'm not trying to be mean. Here's, as I spent time here last night and yesterday morning, and, you know, getting through another funeral and looking at things and analyzing things and saying, God, literally, why is our community so dead? Literally. When we come to a place of understanding that we as Christians and the other believers, I'm not leaving anybody out, are the only light in the community. You're the only salt in your community, along with other Christians. Then we need to come to a place of understanding the calling that God has placed on believers. It's not get saved and then shut up. It's not get saved and then just ignore everybody around us. He's positioned us there for purpose so that we reflect to the people the very nature of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, and we keep asking God, anoint my life. Anoint my life. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I'm not going to shut up when somebody asks me the right question. If somebody asked me, well, why are you happy today? Oh, man, I just got flowers for my hubby. No! Because you got Jesus. Flowers are great, but they wilt. These were pretty at one time, and they probably still are, but they're from Wednesday and Thursday. So anyway, the Bible says in Acts 9:15, and God is talking to Ananias, and he says this to him, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are willing to stand for Jesus if everybody that you work with hates you? How many of you are willing to stand for Jesus if they don't want you around? But one person accepts Christ. This gets right down to the nitty-gritty. When God said he's going to suffer many things for my name, that meant, Paul, you're going to die. We are called. I just started writing things down. I can't be content over two-thirds of our area going to hell. I can't be content over churches, denominations, leaders, not only agreeing with what Satan's doing, but promoting it. I can't agree with legislation that comes down that is violently opposed to what God has told us and how to live. And I find out some denominations are not just accepting satanic doctrine, they're promoting it. I can't feel comfortable. I can't come to a place where I wrap my head around it and say, well, these are just the end times. If these are just the end times, and we should be so much on fire looking for the coming of the Lord that we are taking over. Instead of sitting back and allowing Satan to do what he wants to do. God appointed Saul, a man who was agreeing to put Christians to death, to reach the Gentiles, to reach hierarchy, kings, and to reach his own people. So I believe he's looking at America in the church of Jesus Christ, not some denominational church, and saying, I want you to reach the world. I want you to reach America. I want you to reach South Dakota. And I want you to reach your city, your community. And in that, it involves risk. I believe that there are believers all around the world who are willing to lay down their lives to see their nation changed. And there will be people, I believe, in America who die for the gospel. And you may say, oh, Pastor, you're nuts. Just go some of the places now. I wanted to go to a certain place and preach, and somebody said, somebody that came from there or lives out, used to live out there, said, no, you don't want to do that. is not healthy. And so we come to a place of saying, okay, God, what's your call for me? Every one of you are called. If you're a believer, you're called to emulate and glorify Jesus Christ. And you may look at me and say, I heard this before. I pray I bring a new depth to it. And your main concern, and my main concern, is not survival. My main concern is fulfilling the call that God has placed on my life. And that can be hard. I was talking to the mother of our former, not Christy, but the lady that was our congresswoman before Christy Noem. And we were talking about a guy over in Groton who passed away with a heart condition. He used to ref with us. And so I was talking to her. And I was telling her that we were going outside of Acapulco and doing ministry. And she says, but don't you know that can be life-threatening? And I said, yeah. And I don't even know where this came from, but I'll never forget what I said because it wasn't in my mind. I said, but you need to understand, I don't need to survive. I just need to please God. I understand we want to raise our kids. I understand we want to see grandkids. I understand all this. But there's a call of God upon the Christian body of believers that is deeper than that. It goes beyond that. It comes to a place where when God says go, we go. When God says minister, we minister. We have come to a place where we want the cush seats. Oh man, we got to have these padded seats. I like them too. I'm not complaining. But everything has become about being comfortable. Everything has become, I don't want to offend anybody. Where are you going to offend them to? Hell number two? I don't want to offend anybody either. But is the call on our lives coming to a place where we don't want to offend anybody, but we use that because we're just plain scared to say something? Love the way you're shouting. There are things happening where at times believers work against the kingdom of God. We're not being led by God. We're being led by what we feel. We're being led by, I don't want you mad at me. I don't want you mad at me. But if you sit there, you might get offended. You know, maybe somebody might get saved. Things are happening in the body of Christ that shouldn't be happening. Can I really ask a question? How many, are we okay? Can I ask you just a, so you come up to get prayed for, how does that change things? What are you going to do different? Wait for the next time you get prayed for? I'm not putting that down. We need courage. We need to look at things differently. We need to get rid of fear. Maybe sometimes fearing. We need all kinds of stuff. But when does something click with us and makes a change, and things are going to change because God has touched us, and I'm not just waiting for the next time to be prayed for. And the next time I'm going to be prayed for is when I bring the people up that got saved, that I'm witnessing to, or got healed, that I'm praying for. And I see God moving, and I'm not going to just think, well, man, I'm uncomfortable today. Any sense? I believe in supporting one another. Absolutely. I believe in praying for one another. I believe in encouraging one another. I believe in lifting up one another. But if that's all we're going to do, and that's all we're going to become, we might as well put Masonic Lodge or Elk Lodge out in front of our church, because nothing's getting accomplished. Except waiting for the next person to pray for us. And I need prayer. But with that prayer, I want God through me to accomplish something for His kingdom. I love your prayers. But things have to change in my heart, so I'm not just sitting in my office waiting for prayer or waiting for a word of encouragement. That was wonderful this morning. Praise God. We need that. But what are we going to do with it when we get it? Okay, you can go home. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And I'm not frustrated. I'm concerned. I don't want this place just to be another social club. I want this place to be on fire for Jesus. I want to sense God like I did this morning. I want you folks seeing people come to Christ. You know what that does? That encourages you more than anything else. It really does. But as God's positioned us and God has made us and put us in a place, then we need to be compatible with what He wants us to do. We okay? Yes. Isaiah chapter 6. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, and above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Look at me. Whatever we do, we start with worship. You need to thank God for Kirk and Marnie and the worship team. We start with worship. Somebody said, "Well, why do you worship so long?" Because the more we worship, I sense more of the presence of God. Amen? Amen. And so if we cut back on anything, it'll be pastor. And after today, you won't care. Oh, by the way, Carol had one last slam at me, besides cutting short my fishing trip, which was very naughty of her, and I'll talk about it when I get to heaven. She also told Frida, "You know, I'm losing my hair." And then she paused for a moment, but then she said, "But I still have more than pastor." Forget that, and we just need to worship. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of his seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Question still being asked. Who shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Isaiah sensed God calling, and Isaiah committed himself to the call. Now, it's not in this book, but Isaiah was cut in half with a saw. That's how he died. Who will go for me? Isaiah says, I will. The commitment meant his death. But you know something? When you say, I'll go, you've died to yourself. When you say, I witness, you've died to yourself. When you say, I don't care what people think, even though you love them and you're not going to get in their face, you're just going to speak the words that God's give you. And you're going to share his grace, his compassion, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. And I struggle with what I'm telling you because I have a hard time believing why somebody just wouldn't accept it. Amen? I mean, how can you get a better deal? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What? Kurt can explain that one to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, or I set you apart for a purpose. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Sounds like Moses. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak, and do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Okay. See, you got that all in your heads. Look at me. You may not believe this, but it's not going to be the scholars that change our denominations. They're the reason we are where we are. It's not going to be the highly intellectual people that are suddenly going to have a new mindset, although that would be wonderful. What did the Sanhedrin say about Peter and John and the other 9 disciples, or 10? Because Matthias was elected. These are ignorant and unlearned people. They don't have the book learning. So it's going to take somebody, probably just raised up by God like you folks, to stand in the gap and make a hedge and tell people the truth, the reality. The problem is we have lost truth. We have lost the reality of what Christ died for and gave us. And now in most churches, you can't even get the blood of Christ mentioned. They took out their hymnal, the hymns that deal with power in the blood, and the rest of them. And I'm not harping about churches. I'm harping there has to be a voice. There has to be someone. There has to be someone called. And you say, but these pastors, these people with the degrees, they won't listen to us. They might not listen, but if they see Christ doing something, it'll have an effect. When we walk around in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, things change. Minds change. The Sanhedrin, even though they didn't want to hear about Jesus, they could not deny that a notable work had been done. Amen? So words are not the things that change people over, though, although I believe in the power of preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The demonstration of the Holy Spirit working through your lives will start making people think. As people start thinking, they'll be asking their pastors about it. The pastors are going to have to find out. Then they'll go to the denomination and ask about it. Their upper echelons will have to understand that something's happening. Amen? So we start just living that life. Let me illustrate. There was Daniel and three Hebrew children that went to Babylon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was four that we know that Babylon took captive and took them there, and they told them that we are going to feed you what we want to feed you. They told them they had to bow before idols. They told them they couldn't, Daniel, that they couldn't ask anything in God's name. I don't know where the three Hebrew children were. Maybe they were still dancing in the fire. They proved with the food that it was better to eat what they wanted. They proved in the fire that God was with them. And they proved in the lion's den that if you tried to eat them, he'd be pretty tough. But they got through it all. What happened? The nation was changed. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was, glorified himself above God. He became like a wild beast eating the grass. And then he awakened to himself and promoted God over the kingdom. They were positioned for a time and a purpose. And being positioned, they didn't back down. You think they've been a little scared? Probably. They're human. Your human nature and lions don't go too good together, unless they're the Detroit Lions and they're weak. Fire and me just don't go together, especially if I'm the inside of it. They call that nowadays cremation. But they come out. Why? Because God positioned them there. What about Moses? Moses did everything he could not to be the leader. Hello? God, please send somebody else. I can't talk. You know what he did with Moses? He gave him Aaron. And then he gave him Joshua. We have a younger version of Joshua over here. I won't tell you who it is. Sitting with holding his purse. That's a man for you. Guard the purse. But there had to be leaders. You know, God didn't want them to have a king, but they demanded a king, and so he gave Saul. We know where that went. Then he gave David. That was okay, almost. Then he gave Solomon. That was okay to begin with. And then they had Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the other Bohms. Not positioned to do what God wanted them to do. What do you want God to do in your life? Jeremiah 33, 2 and 3 says, "Then the word of the Lord came, 'Call upon me, and I will show you great and wonderful things that you do not understand. Call upon me, and I will answer, and I will show you great and wonderful things.'" Jeremiah survived the exile. Even though he was thrown in a pit, and even though they wanted to kill him, and even though he went through all kinds of stuff. In fact, as Jeremiah came to a place and said, "God," Jeremiah 20, "I'm not going to talk anymore about you. I'm not going to say another word about you. My lips are sealed," but he said this, "The word of God was like a fire within me, and I couldn't keep quiet." That's what I want to happen in us. That we're not trying to promote a church. We're not trying to promote a pastor. We're not trying to promote anything but the kingdom of God. And the word of God is in us like a fire, and it's burning and it's exploding. And our words are from God. Not from what man thinks. Not even from what we see. The word is from God. And in those words is a boldness that we can't drum up. I'm not as bold as I sound preaching somebody's funeral. My knees are having fellowship. But there's a confidence in Jesus Christ that something's going to happen. And I know that when I say what God has placed within me to say, there's no fear till you go home. Then you start listening for cars driving by and rifle shots. But there's a reality to truth, and truth that we have through Christ builds a confidence in us that is worth everything we have just to walk it out. You may be lonely. It may be scary. It may come to a place where we say, "Well, I can't do it." Of course we can't. But you're equipped to do it by the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by God to do it. And I've learned, just don't preach what I think I believe. Because there are days I'm not sure about a lot of stuff, what I believe, but I am confident in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, His love and the compassion of our Heavenly Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. Base your life on that. Israel had the idols that were brought into the country, and it led them astray. Now hang on, and I'm not being political. America has political correctness that had been brought into the country, and it's devoured, almost devoured a nation. We need to look at that. It's not political correctness that matters. It's biblical correctness that matters. Amen. Amen. It is time for a massive groundswell of true believers, anointed and led by the Holy Spirit, promoting Jesus Christ. Promoting Jesus Christ and against all demonic endeavors to rise up and lead people back to the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been positioned to be revivalists, and that means just preaching Christ and seeing people saved, and to be aware that Jesus Christ is calling us to demonstrate his gospel. We must be led by the Holy Spirit to do this. It is being led by his Holy Spirit and us walking his direction, not ours. Dave Kaufman from Holy Life said a statement that just absolutely hammers my mind when I think of it. It's direction, not intention, that causes your destiny. A lot of good intentions. But it's direction, not intention, that determines your destiny. You know, I don't want this body to come to a place where we're just all about ourselves. I love walking in Friday night and seeing the young adults. Friday after morning, I'm seeing little Bible study going on. That excites me. But we have to get outside the walls. And you may look at this and say, yeah, Pastor, I agree with you, but I can't do it, or I won't do it. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm saying it's God's desire that we do it. Wherever you go to work, before you go, say, God, I want to be a blessing today, and I want to share with somebody truth. One of the main reasons we don't position ourselves to do what God has called us is because we don't feel we're equipped. Now, what does that mean? Equip yourself. We're doing that this morning, but get the word, get the prayer, learn to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know if God's talking to you? How many of you know it's God? That's beautiful. Such encouragement. Listen to what God is saying. And the greatest thing I can do is just simply obey what he's saying. Just listen to him. And you know something? The Bible tells us, be always prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us. It's kind of interesting for this time because most of the things going on around us are hopeless. People are going out, getting drunk, doing drugs, doing all the stuff, and they always have the same result. Always have the same result. More misery. And they'll tell you, oh, I'm having the time of my life. Really? Then why do you have to buy it? If you're having such a great time, why do you have to buy it? I'm having a great time and it's free. And so we just come to a place where we are prepared because we know we've been in the Word. We know we've been talking to the Holy Spirit. We know that even as we're traveling to work, we're just saying, God, help us to see somebody. Help me to talk to somebody. How wonderful is that? Please, as you go home, just take a look at this. You could even go back years and see how God has positioned you where you are for purpose. And as he positioned you there, just say, God, okay, what's next? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to pray for? Who needs to sense your love today? Who simply needs to be blessed? Steve Tucker, he don't talk about it. I don't even know if he shared it at a men's retreat, but Steve Tucker, who's a works in the emergency room in Cloquet Hospital, what he does, when he's working, he prepares a big meal for all the staff that he's working with. And they ask him, well, why are you doing that? He said, I just love to cook. And now he's got people, and he's been for quite a while now, coming and say, will you pray for me? Why, you know, what's this all about? It's just not say, hey, I hate my job. I got to go to work. You know? All last week, I said, I hate my job. I got to go to work. But there's something that opens a door. Here's what to do. Ask God, what's going to open the door where I work? What do people need to see? What do people need from me?